God loves in real time. If you don't just read the Bible, which is written 1600 years and talks about thousands of years of history and God's commitment to mankind, and we go, oh, God loved us. God loves us. Oh, it's not about when we get to heaven and go, oh, God's going to love me when I'm all right, when I get to heaven and I won't have this problems, or I won't have this body that I carry around. He loved me when I get there because I'd be more lovable. No, he loves us. He loves you right now, where you're at right now, no matter what you're in or not in. He loves you and he loves me. And if you can settle that, honestly, deceptions will fall away that keeps you away from your future. He loves you in real time. That means when you really, really feel rotten, when you really, really sin against him, when you really, really feel condemned, he loves you in real time. Right here, right? And if you can sell that, well, then you will understand that he doesn't only love you, but he's faithful to you. Because when we don't know he loves us, we go, why would he be faithful to me? And we sing these great lines of Bill, he's faithful, and we declare them, we sing it out loud, and we sing them as words, and yet it's not landing in your life because you go, you know what? Maybe he's faithful to Noel, but he's not faithful to me. See, that's a deception. It's not the truth. In fact, it's a downright dirty, rotten, stinking, fat lie. It's far from the truth. And Father, I pray this week that you would show each one how much you love us and how faithful you are to each one of us, and that we'd have testimonies of your faithfulness. Not what we read in the book, not what we read in other people's books, not what we hear in other people's stories, but our testimonies of Jesus' faithfulness. Amen? So what are you waiting on for him, from him? What answer are you waiting on? What breakthrough are you needing? What prayer have you prayed? And you think, oh, maybe God's not going to answer that one. I release God's goodness upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, it's very important you get to a home group, a link group. It's very, very important because that is our care for you. It's our part of our discipleship. It's part of connecting you with the rest of the church. It's part of providing pastoral care for you. It's part of connecting you to one another. So don't think you can do it on your own, and don't think, oh, I'll just make it. This is part of the life and doing life together in Liberty, where we rejoice with each other, where we stand with each other, where we weep with each other, where it goes beyond Sunday morning into midweek, where you're connected with other people that can do life. Because most churches wait for all that to happen, and not even most churches, but people wait for that to happen from the front and from the leaders, where we keep saying over and over again, this church is about the church, us. And we're trying to get us together so that us can be us. Because when you're on your own, you're not us. You're just on your own being you. And then you can get into all types of bother. So please take heed of the places where you can go to have fellowship during the week and avail of them. You know, the last couple of weeks that I've been here, I've been speaking on an increase. And God has released an increase because the kingdom of God is always increasing. And I just want to briefly go through just a section of scripture and just pull out some things of increase. You know, when you read or listen, if you're listening or reading some of the people around the world that are speaking into the church around the world, in fact, they're saying the same things, which I'm glad that they were listening to our podcast and then taking my sermons and actually preaching them around the world. That was a joke. But it seems that God is speaking around the world that there's an increase. And in fact, the scriptures talk about the increase. The scriptures have always talked about an increase. Lots of people would read one section of the scriptures and where it says, in the last days, many will fall away. Many will run after teachings that just scratches their ears. But there's no power, or God is not in them. And he says, many will fall away and many will be deceived and fall away. And I'm like, Jesus, I don't want to be one of those. That's why I want to be intimate with you. That's any old truth that comes my way that I don't chase after it. But that I know my word, I know the Bible, I know what he's saying to me. And it says, many will fall away, and I don't want you to be one of them. Determine in your heart, you're not going to be one of them. And then there's another stream that is flowing with that, where there's going to be a great revival, an end time revival, the Bible calls it. Where many will be swept into the kingdom of God. Our brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers and cousins and nephews and countrymen. Swept in. And you can focus on where sin is abounding. But the Bible tells us that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So there's these two great things emerging at the same time. But the kingdom of God is on the increase. It's always increasing. And we can't go into that because we did it for 4 weeks. But I believe that Jesus wants to release fresh power into our lives. An increase of power. His power. See, because Christianity is not just about words. It's about power. Paul says that he says, I want to get to Corinth because there was other apostles there. Paul in the Amplified calls them, like sarcastically, the super apostles. Those who had great things to say and great eloquent words and great phrases, but did no power of God. And he says, I'm going to go there and I will listen to all the boasts. And listen to what he says, and I'll see what power is there. Paul was saying, look, one of the litmus tests of Christianity is that there's power. Power to change. Power to be transformed. Power to come out of darkness into light. Power to have your thinking change. Power to witness for God. Power to pray for people. Power to pray to pull down strongholds. He says if there's no power, it's useless. It's eloquent words, nice phrases, but it's useless. And Paul says, I came to you with fear and trembling. Not full of eloquence, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And he was saying, this is what he was trying to communicate. If there's no demonstration of the power of the Spirit, there's something wrong. I love that. And that has to be the mark of our church. That has to be the mark of our ministries. That it's not just about women getting together at Well or Haven. These are vehicles that the power of God and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit to change people's lives. These are vehicles. Home groups are vehicles of change, vehicles of transformation. They're not just something that we get together and sing nice songs and have a nice coddle in Antoinette's house. Squaddle, sorry. A squaddle is a mixture between a stew and a coddle. And if you want to test it, go out to Anne's home group. She's going to build another extension. That's lovely, but they're vehicles. The stew crew that feeds the homeless, the cup of soup is a vehicle to translate the love and the power of God to people. And if we're not seeing it, well then, we might as well close up shop. Is this very high? Okay. I am. But there's more. No matter what we've seen, the power of God is in real time. It's not stuff we read about in history. I remember walking around this room with four other pastors, four other leaders from the nation, the Assemblies of God National Leadership Team. And we were talking, we were just walking around praying for the city, praying for the nation, praying for the meeting we were attending. And someone mentioned St. Patrick. God, give us the power. And we remember what Patrick done. I appreciate what Patrick done. I appreciate how God used Patrick. But I'm sick to the back teeth of referring back to 1,000 years ago. Because the power of God is real time. Right here, right now, for you and for me. For our city, for our nation. That God can use you in real time to do things that is making him real to this nation. It's not just about looking back over thousands of years ago. Has God not changed your life? Have you not seen the power of God transform your life? If you have, put up your hand. See, when we stop seeing hands putting up like that, we're closing the doors. Because we're not here to have a club. We're not here to have just get-togethers. This is a vehicle of demonstrating the power of God. And the people that walked with God, the disciples. We're getting invaded up here by kids. I can't even give her my attention because she'd want to jump up and I'm not ignoring her. The disciples walked with Jesus. Can you imagine what they seen with Jesus? They experienced him come out of the desert. He goes in, led in by the Holy Spirit, gets tempted by the devil, comes back out of the desert, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, says. He gets led in by the Spirit. He gets tested by the devil because the devil tested the first Adam in the garden. And now it was the last Adam's chance to be tested. And he goes in led of the Spirit and comes out in the power of the Spirit. It's amazing. Sometimes we think tests is God getting at us or it's just the devil trying to get at us. But sometimes tests and trials and tribulations are like a promotion into a new power and a new release of power in God. And you might be going through some testing and some trial right now. But that test is to give you a testimony of a new release of power into your life. It's not just a test. It's an opportunity to receive a testimony of how God brought you through in his power and his might. And if we don't get what tests are for, and trials and tribulation, and how God uses them in our lives, that we won't have a testimony, we'll just be a moany. God's not blessing me, I'm in the desert, the devil's after me, the tax man's after me. We just become moans. And we stand at the bus stop. Oh, recession. That bear to your hand. That clown, this and the other. And we become like everyone else. And maybe the test that we're in financially is so that we will throw our trust upon him who provides for us in every way. So we're not moaning like everyone else. You go, look at love, I lost my job. But God is still faithful to me. It's my testimony. Yeah, but what about those? I must tell you my testimony. Because the alternative is you jump in. Now you have two monies. And it's still not a testimony. But God wants to give us testimony. And Jesus comes out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. And he goes around and he heals everyone that comes to him. They brought the sick and the lepers and their diseased and the demon-possessed and they brought them. And the Bible says in Luke that everyone that came to him, he healed them. He set them free. And here's the disciples seeing this power. Imagine when they went to raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus come forth. A man that was dead for days being called out. What power was released? What an incredible expression of the kingdom of God. The dead becoming alive. And the disciples then get a taste of it. Luke 10, Jesus says, come here. I'm going to send you out now and you're going to do what I was doing. He says, I told you about it. I showed you. Now you're going to do it. That's the method of Jesus. He tells us, shows us, now you do it. And he sends out the 70. And they go out into people's homes, blesses people, find out their needs, has fellowship with people, finds out their needs. Jesus says, pray for the sick, they'll get well. They came back to Jesus after doing all of this. He says, even demons submit to us in your name. They've experienced a release of power in their lives. They experienced a taste of what God was doing, what Jesus was doing, and they were now doing it. And they get a taste of this. Then Jesus goes to the cross. The blood was spilled. And after the blood, they went to Pentecost. Jesus says, go up to the upper room when he rose from the dead, because there's a fire going to come, and it's going to touch your life. And see that power that you experience in Luke 10, you're going to experience this or have opportunity to experience power in everything, in every way that is possible. And the blood was spilled. And the sins of the world was taken upon him, your sin and my sin. And he took it all into himself. If you're carrying the weight of your sin and the weight of your shame and guilt, it's only probably because you haven't heard the good news yet. He took it on himself. He took everything that we've said or done or thought wrong. He took it on himself, the sins of the people of the world that we despise in history. He took them upon himself.
He's already paid a price for your sin and my sin. And the only difference is when you believe he done that for you and he took the weight of your sin, or you carried the weight of your sin. And the blood was spilt. Nails in his hands and his feet. Thorns on his head, spear in his side, and his blood dripped for you and me so that our sins could be covered. Our sins could be forgiven. And then when the blood was spilt, the fire came. Because wherever there was blood, there was fire in the Bible. And Jesus said, I'm spilling my blood so that you can experience the Holy Spirit coming upon you in power. And they go to the upper room because Jesus rose from the dead and says, wait for me. And he waited for the power. They waited for the power. They waited for the power. You want power, you wait for the power. You wait for the power. He says, wait. 40 days they were waiting. Can you imagine them if they just had a moaning? It was a test. It was a test. Will you wait on it? Or will you start moving into your own strength again? Or look, we'll just do it our way. But he waited. Can you imagine? There was 120 there. At least everywhere else, the Bible talks about 500. But yet there was only 120. Can you imagine if there was 500 up in the upper room? And a phone call came. And they go, yeah, sorry, you have to leave the meeting. And while you were there with the meeting, the power came. And you come back in, and everyone's on fire for God, and you're like, what happened? But that could have happened, even though they hadn't got phone calls. Maybe a carrier pigeon landed on the window or something. And some of the 500 says, I've enough of waiting. I thought I would have gotten it in an instant. I've never learned perseverance, so therefore I put things in the microwave and I get it within a minute. And now he's asked me to wait. Can you imagine them all drifting off? Ah, I'm going to watch the match. Oh, I'm going to watch EastEnders. Oh, I'm not going to the home group because I'm just timid. Can you imagine, I don't want to stay here. Your man is smelly. We come up with reasons. And can you imagine the others, 380 left. And on the 40th day, the power of the Holy Spirit came. Tongues of fire, says. Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind, and tongues of fire came and rested on everybody. I guarantee you, when they seen those others, they said, it was a great meeting. And this time, it really was a great meeting. You missed out. It's amazing how many miss out on the things of God because they want to do what they want to do rather than what God has told them already to do. But God was saying, you've seen and experienced the power of God. Now there's an increase. There's an increase. Now to get the increase, you're going to have to wait. I will be faithful to my promise. I will send you the promise that the Father told you, the promised Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He will come upon you and clothe you with power. Then you won't have to try it in your own strength. You do it in the Holy Ghost. I remember Fergus Ryan was driving an old banger of a car, a pastor in the city. I remember it was a Master 323, that's what it was. And you could hear him coming uptown. It was spluttering and splattering everywhere you can go, right? And his church bought him a brand new car, a brand new Master 623, is there? 626. And then he says, I seen him in it, it was beautiful. And he says, Noel, see me old car. It was like going in my own strength. He says, this one's like driving in the Holy Spirit. He said, it's smooth, it's easy. I just have to look at it and it goes into gear. I just say, like, the sound is beautiful. When I turn the engine, it's just crisp sound. And Jesus, when you came out of the upper room, they were moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. They had experienced the increase of God. They'd experienced something of God that they couldn't have had all of their weight and all of their own strength. They could have never done it. Because men and women in their own strength don't heal people. Men and women in their own strength don't see 5,000 being added to the church. Men and women in their own strength, listen to what they've done. They sold property so that no one in the church would be in need. I'm saying, God, bring us back to the church. Make us that church in real time. I'm not just talking about us, I'm talking about the church. So here's where I want to read from the scriptures. Jesus walks amongst them. Acts chapter 4.
I'll find it. The disciples had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They had been experienced the power of God. They'd experienced people being raised from the dead, men that were crippled. They were walking by Gate Beautiful one day, and there was a man that was begging. He was there as a beggar all of his life. He was poor. He was the champion beggar. He was the best beggar in the place. You can imagine all the times Jesus walked by the temple. Imagine all the times Jesus walked by this guy on his, because he was put there every single day. One day, the two disciples was walking by, and he says, "Have you got any change?" They had received the release of power. And Jesus and the disciple says, "Silver and gold I haven't got. But in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." They could have thrown money at him. They could have thrown alms at him. They could have thrown denaries at him. They could have thrown shekels at him. They could have said, "Let's have a program. Let's build a new program around the cripples." But instead he said, "We're not going to throw money at you. We're going to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you're going to know the power of God." That's the church. That's the church that Jesus died for. We need money. You can't get the gospel. You can't do what you need to do without money. It's impossible. You can't even get a bus down here without money anymore. But if all the church has is money and programs without the power of God, it ceases to be the church of God. So the disciples had experienced this. Acts chapter 4. It's a bit long, but it's a great story. While Peter and John were addressing the people, the priest, the chief of the temple police, and some Sadducees came up, indignant that these upstart apostles were instructing the people and proclaiming the resurrection from the dead that had taken place in Jesus. Are you with me? They arrested the two disciples and threw them in jail until morning. For by now it was late in the evening. But many of those who listened had already believed the message, about 5,000. The next day a meeting was called in Jerusalem. I'm sorry, just forgive me. The next day the rulers and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name do you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he had received another increase while he stood up. Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for the act of kindness shown to the man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." Listen to what he proclaimed. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." There is no other way. There is no other way to salvation other than through Jesus Christ. There is no way. He was speaking to the people of God. Listen to who he was speaking to, the high priest, who would give offerings and give salvation and give sacrifices and taught the people the Old Testament. And James and John says, there's no other name. There's no other way other than through Jesus. Don't let any false, hollow philosophy or man's attempt to bring salvation into your life. There's no other way. Is there another way? There's no other way. "Salvation is found in no one else," they said, "for there is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unskilled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took notes that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing before them, there was nothing they could say, so they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it.
But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. They called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all of these were praising God for what had happened. All the people were praising God for what had happened. But the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. They had seen the miracle. They dragged him in. They says, you stop teaching in this name. You basically were saying, you shut up. You shut up. Stop talking about this Jesus. Stop talking about what you've seen him do and what you heard him say. Stop talking about him. It's incredible that there's things and people still shouting at us today, you and I, stop telling about what God has done in your life. Peer pressure. Afraid what other people will think of us. And yet it's the message that they need to hear. Shut up. Shut up. You decide what's right, to obey God or to obey your peers. I'm not saying be a lunatic now. Start walking around your job with a cross on your back or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you have an opportunity to give an account of who you really are. Don't settle for who you are not. There's a release of power. You know when they experienced the power of God, they couldn't keep their mouth shut even if they wanted to. It just pops out. I won't talk about Jesus. Do you know, I was in church the other day and this woman was telling me that she got healed. Oh, sorry. I don't even think they have their hands on our mouth. I think we have. Honestly, I really think our loved ones want to hear what we have to say. And if we don't tell them the truth, they're going to believe a lie anyway. And he says, we can't keep it in. I've got to tell somebody. I've got to release this pressure of joy that I feel inside of me. Even if it's like you're in work and you just go, Jesus, just get it out of your side of your mouth. He loves you. Something. A woman was here the other night. There was two fellas in Rat Mines banging the head off each other. And Joan Prendergast went over. She put the hand on the fella's back. He was punching the head off the other fella. Jesus loves you. And he stopped fighting your man and says, what? I tell you what. I guarantee you Saturday morning that fella was thinking, what was all that about? But that's all God needs. That's all God needs. Because you know what? Someone came to us. And really, didn't we think they were mad? Hands up if you didn't think they were mad. There you go. We all thought they were mad. He's a lunatic. She is crazy. And now we're sitting here and standing and putting our own hands up in worship. And now we're all mad together. I remember someone saying to old Noel McFarlane, someone in his job called him a nut. He said, I'm screwed to the right bolt. Someone says, Noel, you have a slate missing. He says, that's how the light got in. We all thought the same. And yet we've come in to an understanding of the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Because when his name is mentioned and the gospel is pronounced, it says that's the power of God unto salvation. And he said, shut up. Just keep your mouth shut. And he says, we can't. And the last couple of scriptures. Yet they took note that they were with Jesus. The priests, the high priests, they took note that they were with Jesus. If we want an increase of power in our lives, we have to spend time with Jesus.
You have to. You can't trust us with it if we don't go to him. Say, Jesus, here I am. How are you doing this morning? Jesus, anything for me today? Honestly, I've tried, and I've done this for years. I've disciplined myself. Every morning, the first words is, it's not like what's on the news. How's the weather? The first words that come out of my mouth is, Lord, I love you. Because I'm trying to discipline my body wants breakfast. My mind wants to get up and start today. I'm saying, no, Lord, you're the beginning. And no, and when I go to bed at night, Lord, you're the end. And you have sweet dreams when you focus on them in the night. And you're not tormented, Lord, fill my dreams with your grace and mercy. It's a discipline. Before I open my eyes, before I come into conscious reality, my thoughts are, my words are, Lord, I love you, fill me for this day. And see, when the worries of the world comes in and they're the first thoughts, they're the stupid thoughts that were sending me into panic attacks a year ago. Because I didn't allow my discipline to kick in. I was allowing worries of the world kick in. And I was lying in bed like a kipper, like taking panic attacks. Kipper out of water, you know. They know that they were with Jesus. Loving him, talking to him. Praying. Asking him what's on the agenda today. Lord, will you use me today? Lord, I love you. Lord, will you fill me? Lord, will you let me know your love? Lord, will you give me understanding? Like, just keep on asking and asking. That's what the disciples done. He asked him question after question. Lord, and what was this about? And what was that parable about? And how did you do that? And why did you do that? And all of the time they asked him questions, they got answers. Because Jesus' relationship is in real time. Amen. And if we want to increase, we have to spend time with him. And that other slide, man. They got out of prison. They got out of being held. On their release, verse 23, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nation rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And it says, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had already decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They were speaking the word with boldness. And they said, Lord, will you now enable us to speak with an increased boldness? They didn't get discouraged from being brought before the Sanhedrin. They didn't get discouraged because now everyone was looking at them. They didn't get discouraged because they were under threat, with further threats. I don't know what the threats may have been to the disciples, but maybe it was something like, what we done to Jesus, we do to you. That was a live threat. That wasn't a threat that was idle. That was something that they'd seen them trump up charges against Jesus already. They put up false witnesses and says, look, we'll crucify you the way we crucified them. And they didn't get discouraged. They go back and all of them raise their voices and they say, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Could it be that the threats were getting into their heads? Could it be that they were getting really fearful? I'd imagine it was. But instead of giving in to the fear, they said, Lord, more. Lord, increase. Lord, what we've seen yesterday, will you increase in more, greater boldness to preach the gospel, to tell people about the power and the love of God? And he said this, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal. Stretch out your hand to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They says, Lord, more. They said, Lord, I want an increase. Lord, I want a download of power so that I can do what you've called me to do. Lord, would you stretch out your hand and release power to heal? Release power for signs and wonders. Miraculous signs. They didn't say, Lord, they didn't write newsletters and write stories about the man that was healed that gate. Beautiful. They were saying, where's the next one? What's next, Lord? Have you done that at the gate? Beautiful. Maybe the priests and the Sanhedrin that we were just in front of, maybe they'll come to know you. Lord, more.
Lord, more real time, not just yesterday's testimonies, tomorrow's testimonies, and the day after's testimonies. And listen what happened. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That they prayed, they sent a message to God. He says, Lord, consider their threats. Lord, enable us to speak more boldly. Give us more power to do what you've called us to do. Signs and wonders, miraculous signs, Lord, power miracles. And it says that they received. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It says the whole place where they were meeting was shaken. They were shaken and stirred. They were shaken under the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were stirred to reach people. They were stirred to reach out to mankind. They were stirred to do something in God for people. They were stirred with passion and compassion for people. They were stirred in a way that when they seen someone with no coat and they too, they said, here you can have one. They were stirred in a way that they gave cups of cold water to people. They were stirred in a way where they sold their possessions to make sure someone else that was in need would be met. They were stirred in such a way that when they spoke the word boldly, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to know Jesus. Families came to know. Prison officers came to know. Them and their families got baptized. They were stirred in such a way that when you're walking down the street and a young girl full of demons, they were stirred in such a way they said, come out of her. They were stirred in such a way and empowered in such a way that when they were imprisoned, they started singing songs to God. Now you can imagine the jailers going, they're mad. Such was the increase of God's power in their lives. And I want to release this morning an increase. First of all, what do you need power for as a person? Stop driving around in the old banger. I'm going to pray that you move in the Holy Spirit. That we move in the Holy Spirit. You know when Peter got filled with the Holy Spirit? Before that, he was denying God. He says, I don't know this Jesus. He even called the curse down on himself. Jesus raised from the dead. He goes to the lake where they were fishing. And he says, Peter, come on back. And Peter came back. And on the day of Pentecost, when the tongues of fire came and he got an increase of power, Peter never went back again. And I just felt this morning the Lord quickened in my heart that there's people in you back and forward, back and forward, and back and forward. Today it stops. It's just forward. It's like over hills, ups and downs. Today the Lord smooths it out for you. Yet there will be blips. But it won't be, am I a Christian or not? Am I walking with God or am I not? Am I going to backslide tomorrow or not? That Peter knew from that moment on when he was filled with an increase of power, it was all the way forward. It was all the way. It was all the way. It was Peter who stood up and he started proclaiming the day of what happened on the day of Pentecost. And that you're like a yo-yo Christian. And you're going back and forth. And you don't know whether you're up or down. You don't know whether you're in or out. You don't know. I'm moving with God. And then something happens and I'm knocked back. Today it stops. Today it stops. What power do you need from God? Oh, you need a miraculous sign. You need a wonder. You need to be shown His love. He has it all for us. He's not holding it back on us. And he's not hiding it from us. He's actually hiding it for us. That's why he says, if you seek me, you find me. He doesn't just throw it on the ground. He doesn't just throw it into a vacuum. Oh, there it is. But those who seek him will find him. And he's hiding stuff for us. He's hiding the increase for us so that we get hungry and going after you, Lord. I'm not going to let you alone until I get it. I'm going to pull on the hem of your garment. He's not just throwing seed willy-nilly so that the ravens can come and pick it up. He's looking for ground that he can throw it into, that it can bear fruit. And I don't think he's holding back on us. I think we can have as much as we want. And some. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the message we've heard today, Lord, of how you love us. And that you're faithful. And it all starts with your word, Lord.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the beginning, Lord, was your Word. And I just thank you, Lord, that we're not speaking man's hollow philosophy or man's idea about who you are, Lord. I thank you for your Word, Lord, and your promises of increase and your principles and your ways, O God, of doing things. And Lord, you spoke to me weeks ago and you said, no, release the increase. And I speak over our church. I release the increase of God's power in our church, in our lives as individuals, in our ministries, in our outreaches. I release the power of God to speak the Word boldly. I release the power of God for you never to go back again. Never to go back again. I release you forward in the name of Jesus. I release the power of God to bring you to that destination that you don't have to struggle anymore. I release the power of God for you to go forward in the Holy Spirit.